Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our living Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. Christians have been observing All Saints Sunday for 1,300 years. Next to Easter and Christmas, it is one of the oldest celebrations in the church. It began out of a fear of forgetting. Across the early centuries of the church, you see Christians endured a great deal of persecution. And so way back in the 8th century, the church decided to honor all those who had been put to death for their faith, but whose names had never been recorded and whose memory, therefore, was in constant peril of being lost. Over time, this day of sacred remembrance was extended to include all those named saint by the church and eventually to all Christians who have lived and died in the faith and who now rest eternally and triumphantly from their labors. We continue this part of the celebration when we, just after the sermon, will take a few moments to remember all those that we have loved and who have died and who now live in the nearer presence of God. So All Saints was begun because sometimes it's hard to remember. And All Saints was established because sometimes it's also hard to believe. When we are overcome by grief, when we are consumed by a sense of loss, when we are unsure of what the future holds or our place in it, God's promises can feel distant, even unreliable, and we may struggle to trust that God is with us, let alone that God will keep God's promises to us. Which is why we read Scripture together, and on this day return to the story of Abraham. A week ago, we heard the first part of his story when God came to Abraham and told him to leave his land and home behind and travel to a new country far away. God promised to give that land to Abraham and to give him descendants who would live there forever. As we noticed last week, in an incredible act of faith prompted by these promises, remember God's efficacious word, Abraham went, taking his wife Sarah and all their household. It's been a pretty amazing story up to this point, filled with some ups and downs, some narrow escapes and close calls. Eventually, Abraham and Sarah make it to their destination and begin to settle down when God comes to visit Abraham a second time in the passage Pastor Dixon just read and declares once more God's plan to bless Abraham. This time, though, the story plays out a little differently. Because while what God says in this week's passage is pretty similar to what God said a week ago, "Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield, and your reward shall be very great," Abraham's response is quite different. "Oh, Lord God," he says, "what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." You'll remember that in last week's story, we learned that Abraham and Sarah have no children, and at 75, did not expect that they ever would. Which, in the ancient world, wasn't just a disappointment, but was a curse. No children to inherit your wealth. No children to continue your line. No children to remember you when you are gone. The calculus in the ancient world was clear and cold. No children, no family. No family, no future. Which might be part of the reason why Abraham and Sarah followed God's command in the first place. It was the promise of their heart's desire. But years later, it still hasn't happened. And Abraham's not ready to swallow the Lord's promises quite so quickly this time. In fact, he pushes his point home. "You have given me no offspring," he complains, "and so one of my servants will be my heir." Sometimes believing comes easy. You hear God's promises and you just believe. Maybe it's because life is going pretty well already, or because the promise is just what you'd hoped for. But sometimes God's promises are hard to believe, even if you want to, or have tried to, or prayed to. Maybe, for instance, you've prayed for children and that prayer hasn't been answered yet, or prayed that your child would escape addiction or get in a healthier relationship. Or maybe it's for a better job or a more hopeful future or a kinder marriage. Or maybe you just wanted a little more time with your loved one and it didn't happen. Sometimes believing is easy, and sometimes it's really hard. Interestingly, God's response to Abraham's skepticism, complaint, and doubt is no different than God's response to Abraham's faith. God doesn't get mad or frustrated or threaten to cast Abraham aside if he doesn't get a better attitude. Instead, God just repeats the promise, this time making it even more tangible. This man will not be your heir, God reassures Abraham. No one but your very own child will be your heir. And then in a moment of tender patience and care, God brings Abraham outside and says to him, almost whispers, I imagine, look towards the heavens and count the stars in the sky, if you can even count them. So shall your descendants be. And then the narrator of Genesis continues, Abraham believed the Lord. Now, just to be clear, Abraham and Sarah won't actually have that child for another 20 years when he is on the verge of turning 100, which means I'm pretty sure there were other times Abraham found faith hard. But I wonder how many times when, just as he was about to give up on God, he'd walk outside once again and try to count the stars in the sky. And with that tangible reminder flung wide across the heavens, find a measure of both comfort and courage and discover he could believe once again. God promises that Abraham's descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and history has proven that promise trustworthy, as Abraham and Sarah will have Isaac, child of the promise, and Isaac will have Jacob and Esau, and Jacob will have 12 children that grow and become the 12 tribes of Israel, and one of those descendants, Jesus of Nazareth, born of Mary, descended through Joseph all the way back to Abraham. Jesus will declare God's mercy and grace to all the world and be the blessing God promised so long ago. It is an amazing story, and it is not done yet. Because through our baptism into Jesus, you and I are now counted also as children of the promise and descendants of Abraham. You and I, that is, represent and make up some of those stars in the sky that God talked about all those years ago. Which brings me back to All Saints. During the Reformation, Martin Luther added a new accent to the day by insisting that all those who have been baptized by God and declared righteous by grace are, in fact, living saints. Those people who have been called and set apart, that is, sanctified, made saints to do God's work of blessing those around us. And so on this day, we take time to remember those saints who have died in the last year, those people who were part of our family of faith and who have now moved into the nearer presence of God. And then we remember that we, like Abraham and Sarah and so many countless people since, people who both trusted and doubted God's promises, people who sometimes found faith easy and other times found it hard, we remember that we also are saints. Not perfect, not even a little better than most of those around us, but rather people who have heard God's call, people who know that God loves us, all of us, and are determined to share that love. And when that is hard to remember or believe, when grief or fear or uncertainty take hold, come here. Because that's what we do here. We remind each other, help each other remember, help each other believe. And so whether you've worshiped here all your life or are visiting for the very first time, whether you're here in person this morning or watching at a distance, whether you find it easy just now to believe or incredibly hard, there is a place here for you. God has surrounded you with living saints, as difficult to count as are the stars in the sky, to remind you that you are loved, that you have value, that God has called you to be a blessing, and that while sometimes it may take a long time, God always keeps God's promises. Thanks be to God. Amen.